I was reading this morning in the book of Isaiah. So we're going to go to the book of Isaiah for this evening. Chapter 25. Yes, and that's one of the key verses. Yeah. Would somebody read verses 1 through 5 for us, please? Out loud. Certain. Okay. So what did you hear? Yes, but there's some positive there too. How does it start out? Yeah. And I will exalt you. But it is bad for those that are opposed to Him, opposed to God. Those that stand in opposition to Him will face consequences. And with Isaiah here, we don't know specifically if it's those in Israel or Judah who have been disobedient. That he is speaking of, or if it is from one of the outlying tribes, some of the other Canaanite peoples. But there is lots of consequences, and very descriptive, you know, that their town's going to be a ruin. It's going to be no more. It will never be rebuilt. Very definitive. But then there's some positive things. Look at verse 3 and 4. Strong peoples will honor you. Verse 4, you've been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. God has been the protector of his people. And continues to do that even today. He continues to guide us and lead us. He continues to be a refuge. In our difficult times in our country today, we can be bombarded with all of the negative media issues and then be brought back to reality that it doesn't matter what's going on in the world around you. Our focus needs to be upon the Lord. It's not upon the turmoil in the outlying areas around us. So let your focus be upon Him and not upon how terrible life is. And you were correct. As you're reading through this, the only thing you see is negative. And that's what we are conditioned to see. is the negative. And yet, it starts out positive. Verse 3 has a positive point. Verse 4 has a positive point. That's not bad out of 5 verses. But all we could see were the negative things. And it ruins everything. One bad apple. I'm thinking Michael Jackson back in the 70s. But never mind. A song he sang. I know. They do know who Michael Jackson is, though, okay? Yeah. He's a gospel singer, right? No. That was long before his voice changed. So, somebody want to read verses 6 through 8. Okay, what did you see in that, those three verses? Yeah. Hope is coming. We can always have hope because we know the God who holds all things in his hands. And he holds the past, he holds the present, and he holds the future. But he gives us that assurance that on this mountain, there will be a feast. Upon this mountain, upon this place, there is a banquet. I don't know specifically what he's talking about. It very well could be upon where the temple was, because all nations will stream to the temple of God. They will be streaming toward him. It could be Mount Calvary. But he's going to deal with the shroud that enfolds the peoples, the sheet that covers the nations, and swallow up death forever. What hope do we have in that? Okay, future. An eternal future. Not just it's going to get better, you know, in the next election cycle. Or it's not, or after the storm has passed, you know, in a few days. It's going to be forever. And death will be no more. He will take care of all of that. He will remove the disgrace. I will wipe away the tears. That's God's declaration to us. How is death taken care of? He definitely has the victory over it. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death has been taken care of. Jesus took care of that on the cross. And here, you know, 700-800 years before Jesus, we see the prophet Isaiah speaking about this and laying the foundation for that, appointing the way to the Savior, pointing the way for the Messiah to come, and that he will be taking care of things on an eternal basis, not just making things more palatable for the time. And then you mentioned in verse 9, in that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. When did salvation come? He is our salvation. He took care of sin. He took care of death. He gives life. He has given us forgiveness. He is the one who is the Savior. If we will trust in him, he will save us. And that allows us, as Isaiah says, that allows us to rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Salvation is nothing to be ashamed about, but it's something that we can rejoice. It's something about which we can appreciate the peace that comes with it. Yes, there will be, it's not going to be a bed of roses in this life. We're not going to be free of temptation. We're not going to be free from the scourge of sin around us or within us if we choose to participate in it. But the salvation is there and the assurance is there because of what the Lord has done for us. The rest of it goes back to some negative, okay? The hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain, but Moab will be trampled under him as straw is trampled under down in the manure. How about that? Bless you. They will spread out their hands in it as a swimmer spreads out his hands to swim. God will bring down their pride despite the cleverness of their hands. He will bring down your high fortified walls and lay them low. He will bring them down to the ground, to the very dust. Victory. God's victory. I mean, it's a very vivid pictures given there. Moab will be trampled down as straw is trampled in the mud and spread their hands out in it. Doesn't that give you a nice picture of something? Okay. Let's go play in the manure, right? Yeah. But isn't that a description of what the world is like then and today? People messing around in the filth. And that's what sin will do to you. But God has victory over sin. God has given us that victory. God has given us life. And he is going to trample down those that are involved in the vile, putrid ways of sin. God's going to bring down their pride. God's going to tear down the walls that they build. He's going to tear down all the fortresses that they may have established for themselves because they cannot, you cannot get away from or be protected from God. He is the one that protects you. You can't be protected from him. But he will bring about justice, his justice. But let me remind you how he started, how this chapter starts out. A praise and exaltation to God. I'm not sure how Isaiah experienced these things as he was writing them down. It's kind of beyond us how God worked in that way. Don't know what all of the things that he was going through. But it was almost like a roller coaster. You know, wonderful things, terrible things. Wonderful things, terrible things, you know. But that's the way life goes. And we need to exalt the Lord no matter what is going on, no matter how the situation may appear. We need to be able to praise him and putting our trust in him and finding our strength in him. What else do you see in there? That's just too easy. That's just too easy. It leads into that praise, right? We have to deal with the rough stuff too. But I do like verse 8 and 9. That he has swallowed up death forever. That he has removed the disgrace of his people. He will wipe away the tears. And that we trusted in him and he has saved us. It points us to the sacrifice that Jesus makes on the cross for us, and the eternal hope that we can have in him. And it puts you right, puts you in the right focus, the right mindset then. Because when you're focusing on praise, when you're focusing on his glory, the things of this world pale in comparison. Yeah, my knee has gotten better, right? His knee will... But while he's in physical therapy, have them get some exercises for his knee. Yeah. True. That's true. Also liked in verse 5 that we don't have to worry about aliens because God is going to silence them. Foreigners. We're not talking space aliens here. And he's not saying build the wall, okay? That's getting into more political things than we need to. But consider how aliens or foreigners were were received in Israel. Because as we've been studying through Nehemiah, they separated themselves. They separated the foreigners away from them, especially those from Ammon and Moab. Oh, Moab was mentioned in this, wasn't it? Verse 10, Moab will be trampled under him as straw is trampled in the manure. Not so much.
They seem like, they check the errors.
They do.
Yeah. I've never been there. What I get.
Yeah. Right. Well, tourism is one of their primary products. Yeah. It's like second or third. So it's a very tourist focused economy, yes. And they will go at great lengths to protect the tourist industry, promote and protect, as for being a legal resident or an Israeli. I don't know what that process is, but I would imagine that it is rather strict, that does include some background check and such. They're very protective of people coming into their country. It's not just to pass you through, if you have a passport, they do an interview. They're very keen on security. People will be flagged and cannot enter because of some things, yes. Right. Hezbollah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from the Gaza Strip, from Lebanon. Yes. Not a pretty. But a lot of that's more politics than anything else. It's hard for us to tear away all of the politics and the geopolitical lines that have been drawn as opposed to scriptural context. And that's often very difficult for us.
When I was in college, the Iranians were still going to college here, so there were some that would be bigger. And I talked to one of them.
Well, it's ingrained as part of their culture.
Yeah.
Yes.
And of course, they all got thrown out anyway. So that was the last Iranian thing we talked
about. We have many reasons to praise the Lord. We have many reasons to look to Him for our salvation because He is the only source of that. We have many reasons to appreciate the protection that He gives to His people. We have many reasons to applaud His victory over the enemy, but also His victory over death. And that's what really jumped out at me as I was reading through this morning. Yes, there's a lot of negative in there, but some of that negative, a lot of that negative, is because God's going to take care of things. And He will do. We don't have to worry about that.
I think someone reading this today versus someone reading this 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
With the current state of everything.
Yeah. Right. Go back 2,700 years when this was written, and some of the political or turmoil that was going on with the Assyrian onslaught, with the to-come Babylonian captivity, the rebellion that was going on in Israel against God, because they had been over 200 or 300 years of one king after another that was serving the idols and not serving the Lord. You know, all sorts of negative things, and yet through this we can see praise. Praise.
Oh, a long time ago, at the Olympics, there were some groups that were, you know, threatening. Who was that? Was it Muslim or?
1972, the Israelis lost several, they had some Olympic members assassinated in Munich. I can't remember what group it was, that some terrorist group that came against them. That was a long time. The what? Can't remember. I know. That's stand up for Jesus style. Okay. Well, that was a jump start, because I wanted you to have good and bad and reason to praise the Lord. And as we take a look at prayer requests, usually we see prayer requests and those are mostly negative, aren't they? But we can see the positive in that, because we're anticipating God's answer to them and seeing opportunities to praise the Lord through this, and seeing his victory, seeing him overcome all of these situations. And so as we move into a time of prayer, I want you to keep that in mind. Despite what we may see in a prayer request, or what we maybe on our heart about which to pray, that we can anticipate the goodness of God coming through each and every one of those. And that's one of the joys that we have, being able to come to the Lord, or come to the Father, and be able to make our requests known to him. I do not. I do not. I exchange emails more with the secretary there than anything. When Julie and Karen went on their Southwest tour last fall, they stopped in and had lunch with... Yeah. No. The previous pastor, I had contact with him about 6 years ago, when I went down there representing our association at their association meeting, because our associations were partnering at that point. And so I went down for their annual meeting and I met their pastor. He was a student at Southwestern at the time, and just got into talking in a conversation with him, and asked if he would be prayer partners with us. And he said, yes. We've been doing it ever since. He has since moved on to a different church, and I've lost contact with him, but we've continued having contact with them. I've never met Pastor Adam. Yeah. For a short while, I was sharing our request with a church also in Missouri, because they had, so like a year and a half ago, a group from Missouri had come to partner, look at partnering with some of the churches in our association, and had been in conversation with them. They never sent me their prayer requests. It was just a one-sided thing, and I kind of lost touch. But no, I think it's good, especially we it helps us to understand we can pray for people we do not know. And as I review their requests each week, it's almost like I'm getting to know these people by name anyway. I have never met them, but you know, seeing their names. Like when I see the name of Tripp Fowler, I know he's a five-year-old with heart problems, because that's what's been on our prayer sheet for the last several months. But you can just kind of feel the stress for those parents of this young man, and not knowing all of his condition or what's going on, but to be able to realize that this is a very serious situation for him. But we can still pray. Many of these people on their prayer list are not members of their church. Yes, be like a father or an aunt or a brother or a brother-in-law or somebody like that, like several of the cancer situations. They don't even attend church there, but they're still on their prayer list. They send out a weekly newsletter similar to ours, only it's has different links on it. It's more of an electronic newsletter. And they just post, I send them not this document, but I send them just a one-sheet document. And they just post that on the internet. And I don't know if they print it out on Wednesday nights or not. But they have, you know, a section called Prayer Needs, and they have their prayer request sheet, and then ours as well. I'll send you their link for this week so you can just take a look at it. Well, let's start, since you brought it up, why don't we start with just praying for some of these requests from Live Oak. Usually we just focus on our own, but let's focus on theirs this evening.